Previously on Talking Trash.
I glanced at the 80s in Roger Corman's Career of the 80s. I grabbed a couple of titles that just stuck out to me. I don't know what these movies are. We can talk about what are these movies. What do we think these movies are? I just want to ask you, because you said Streetwalking jumped out at you. You saw a hooker and you saw Streetwalking and that jumped out to you. Now, here's what jumped out to me, because that's how we pick these movies. These are the ones that picked out and jumped out to me. Let's talk about them.
Now it's garbage.
Just another movie night.
Hello everybody, welcome to the show. We are just another movie night, and I'm Scott and she is Joe.
Oh, I like that. That was really cute.
Guess what we're doing today?
Talking trash.
This is our show too. Review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, what is the worst movie ever made? And if it's not this, what is? Because here on the show, we believe you can't truly review a film unless you know what the worst is. And today we are on our month of going back on a whole month full of Roger Corman films where I suggested a movie, a whole bunch of movies, and you ran through the plots of those movies, of what you thought they all were just by the titles. And we said, you know what the hell? Let's go watch these movies. So that's what we're doing today. And today we are talking about a movie that the Miami News called a mind-boggling atrocity. The San Francisco Examiner said it was like a bad Mexican TV show. Cocaine Wars. From 1985. So it was a 1 hour and 22 minutes rated R with a 4.3 on IMDb from only 398 people, which means it's going to be 400 by the end of this night. Directed and story by Hector Olivera, who is the director of the Deathstalker films.
Oh, okay.
Produced by Roger Corman himself. Starring Dukes of Hazzard and Smallville actor John Schneider. And Royal Dano, the great character actor Royal Dano, from movies like The Trouble with Harry, Outlaw Josie Wales, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Ghoulies 2, House 2, and his last film, The Dark Half. Also, oddly, Federico Lupi, Jesus Christ, I'm so bad. Federico Lupi.
Lupe?
No, it's L-U-P-P-I, Lupi.
Oh, Lupi.
Federico Lupi from Pan's Labyrinth and the Devil's Backbone.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we are talking about Cocaine Wars. Now, do you want to hear what you thought this movie might be about?
Yes, please.
The very last one, and it ties up. It's the same exact year as 1985.
Okay.
Cocaine Wars.
Oh, okay. All right.
Do you think there's like two drug dealers with different cocaines and they're battling it out?
No. So this is starring Edward James Olmos. Oh. He is a big drug kingpin. Okay. And his son gets murdered by, like, the Border Patrol, and he just starts freaking out and just starts killing people. And he gets, like, sweet revenge on the Border Patrol by, like, making them all go insane.
We have to admit, there's no way.
With drugs.
With drugs.
Yeah.
There's no way these movies are as good as what you're thinking they are.
All right, we can stop there. All right, that's what you thought.
Oh my God. Edward James Olmos.
That was a tall guess, I have to say. Now, what do you think now from your version of it to the movie we got? Which one was the better one?
Okay, well, this is going to be detrimental to our podcast episode because I like this movie.
Yeah, this movie rocks.
I love this movie.
Who would have guessed? Because I thought this whole month was going to be a bust. We found the diamond in the rough, guys.
I didn't look at my phone once. I was completely engrossed.
I had to because I was taking some notes. But, I love that you're crying. You're laughing so hard. Well, this is our third in the month. This is our third in the month, and we were pretty much... The last one wasn't so good. The first one, you know, okay. This one, holy shit.
Oh my god. This movie was awesome.
I wouldn't even say it's awesome, but there's a lot. There's a lot to break down. There's a lot to talk about.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
What am I doing with my life?
Oh my god, there's a lot to talk about here. This is a wild one. First off, let's just talk about what's really important here. John Schneider, why the hell was he not a bigger action star?
Oh my god.
Because I love this man. When I watched Smallville, I had seen Dukes of Hazzard growing up. Of course, every kid did.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Dukes of Hazzard. It was fine. It wasn't one of my favorites or anything like that. But when I watched Smallville, I said, man, is he a great actor. Like, why is he not in more shit?
Yeah, he's that, really good in that.
The Smallville cast, especially the older crowd,
yeah,
were, like, top-notch.
Yeah, Annette O'Toole, all of those.
Yeah, Glover. Yeah. You had some amazing actors, and they were all bringing it on that show.
Yeah.
Even it, for a superhero show, it's odd when you go back to it. But now I'm watching this, and all I can think is, how is this guy not in more shit? As an action star.
Did you really research him? Like, has he been in anything that we, like, haven't seen? Because, I mean...
He's been in, like, 190 things.
Oh, God. Well, there's a lot we haven't seen then.
Mostly because he was on, like, 100 episodes of Dukes of Hazzard. He's been on a lot of TV shows. Mm. After this, he did a movie I've been wanting to watch called The Cursed.
Oh.
He wasn't in a lot of things. And according to the reviewers, like I just read... This was supposed to be terrible. But this is actually ranked among Roger Corman's best produced movies of the 80s. I heard it was in the top 10 of his best movies of the 80s.
So you knew that going in?
No, I found this out while I was researching
it. Oh, my God. I was like, there's no way that you knew that before we did this.
I just read off names that sounded insane. I didn't even know he was the main star of this. And the poster is not as... And this is kind of weird because talking about this film... It's not great. I want to put it out there, but it is in that something that you have to see it because it's in that realm of between so bad it's good and pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, I must have said, oh, wow.
Yeah.
About 180 times.
Yeah.
Because there was some cool shit happening in this movie.
There's a lot of cool shit. There's a lot of bad shit.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of cool shit. And I think the cool shit at the end of the day is
It overpowers bad.
It really is. It's tipping the scale in the good favor. And yeah. I think that really comes down to him as an actor.
Yeah.
Because he's selling it.
He really is. And it's like, and he just has that look of like the everyman, you know, like he's just going to get the job done.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah. I mean, he's like a cross between like five characters that stood out in my head. Like he seems like Magnum PI a little bit.
Yeah,
he seems like
because he had a mustache like Tom
but
Selleck.
He also wears like the sport jacket. Like he also looks like Axel Foley. Like he's wearing like
Letterman's jacket,
yeah. with the jeans.
Yes.
And then but he's wearing like really funny, he's wearing a tank top, right, which turns into the like Die Hard tank top. It goes through the whole ringer of colors.
Oh yes,
because of all the sweat and blood that happens during this movie. And then he's got the hair and the mustache like Magnum PI. Like he's got all these things.
Yeah, he's got scruffy hair. He's got like, you know,
he's a pilot, which I think Magnum PI was.
Yeah, he's and he's like really like good looking. Like, Tom Selleck was so handsome. And, yeah,
and John Schneider is very good looking. He is very in shape in this film.
Yeah, and as he got older, he's better looking. It's crazy.
We said that on Smallville. We said, yeah, man, is he getting better looking?
So handsome.
A little friendly advice, don't fuck with me right now. I got you by the short hairs, pal, and I'm about to start plucking.
Yeah, we already, like, talked about how much we like this film, but let's break down the plot, because there's so much stuff to talk about here. There's so much insanity.
I feel
there's
like...
There's a lot of plot lines, too.
I don't even know where to start. I guess we should start with John, because he's the first character that we see. Correct.
This movie, it's okay. I don't know if you got this too, but I automatically, the first thing that went through my mind was Miami Connection, because this movie starts in a way where what is happening? Like, it just starts. I think in Miami Connection, there's like a ninja war that happens with drug dealers in Miami. And this,
it's supposed to be Miami.
It's not. Yeah, actually, that's
in that,
the Miami.
In that movie, it's
that's
supposed
the only
to
moment
be
in that Miami Connection Miami. That's in Miami. The rest of the movie is no. It's just the rest of the movie is a connection to Miami. That's literally the movie.
It's filmed in Orlando.
Yes. But in this movie, it starts with a plane landing, and we see that John Schneider is the pilot, and that his guy that is flying with him.
Co-pilot.
They get, like, completely surrounded by a bunch of what you would guess the cartel.
I mean, yeah. 100%. They look like bad guys. Yeah. And I say that because what are they wearing? Turtlenecks.
Well, some of them are. There's a lot of sunglasses and suit jackets.
Yeah, they all look like dictators.
Everybody looks like a dictator or Tony Montana. Tony Montana.
Yes.
Am I saying it's right?
Tony Montana.
Yeah. Tony Montana.
Or he'll say it with an accent.
I keep saying Montana. But they're surrounding them. And one of them seems like the head honcho. He comes up and he says that they have robbed him of money. They were stealing money from him. And the one guy, they both say bullshit, but the one guy that's John Schneider's, like, right-hand guy, I guess, don't really know much about him. A guy who looks like Pee-wee Herman in with his hair slicked back in a whole black outfit, like a blue black suit.
Okay, let me just describe this. Okay, so he looks like Pee-wee Herman.
He does.
That went to an Andy Warhol art show and became just a beatnik. He has a turtleneck, obviously. He has these round glasses. His hair is slicked back.
Yeah, all I heard was, when I saw him for the first time, I went, paging Mr. Herman.
He does look like that.
Yeah, he looks like him, and he stabs this dude in the back instantly with a switchblade and kills him instantaneously. And now you think that John Schneider is now going to be, like, shot, or this is how it's going to start. Like, maybe he gets wounded, and they think he's dead, and they leave him for dead. Don't really know, but... they basically just go, yeah, you bring him back to, well, I want to see you tomorrow at my house, at the compound. I want to see you tomorrow at lunchtime.
It was weird. Like, he was inviting him over for lunch, but, like, his guy, his like, right-hand guy was just suspected of stealing from him, from the bad guy.
Yeah,
okay, we should say his name. It's
Wilhelm.
Is it?
The guy who stabbed him in the back?
Oh, no. Okay, the main guy, the main bad guy.
Oh, the main bad guy.
His name is Regis? Is it Regis?
Like Regis Philbin?
Like, I think it is. I think it's Regis.
Oh, that's fantastic.
No, it's Reyes.
Yeah.
Reyes.
Gonzalo Reyes?
Gonzalo Reyes.
That's the one that was... he's the actor that was in Pan's Labyrinth and everything. I guess Del Toro really loves him, I guess. He says to Schneider after they killed his friend, I want to see you at the compound. And the guy who stabbed him in the back, there's two underlings. Now, the underlings are really funny. The one is Pee-wee Herman-looking guy we're talking about. His name is Wilhelm, which is, I guess this is a joke. Can I give weird information on the joke here? The Wilhelm scream.
Yes.
A man getting bit by an alligator and he screams.
Okay, quiet. Sit down, Sergeant.
Okay, right. The first one you did up here was much better.
Ow!
No, not an owl. A real scream of pain.
So the famous recorded sound effect that Warner Brothers had in their library, and it's been in like 400 movies. A lot of people think that Sheb Woolley, the singer of Purple People Eater, recorded this sound effect, and it was first used in 51 in a Western, and it's been used in all these movies since. And I guess the joke here is that these two henchmen are like some kind of like parody versions of this. So he's like Wilhelm.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's because like he's a rat bastard and you know he's going to end up screaming dying. And so it's like the Wilhelm scream. I don't know if that's the joke here. But then his other right hand guy, this guy, the two underlings, the other one is Klausman. Now Klausman is a straight up Nazi.
Yeah.
And he's a very smaller gentleman who I could not help but unsee as the small guy in the German small guy in the gang in Top Secret. The one that looks at the screen and says, he is no Mel Torme. I saw him the whole movie. I was like, is this the same actor?
Oh my God. It isn't. How funny.
But I thought the whole time, like, it has to be. Now, this guy's name is Klausman, like Klansman.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a straight up Nazi.
Yeah.
And so these two guys apparently have a plot, right? And which is so crazy. But Schneider, like, they kill that guy. And the other guy's like, hey, I want you to come to my compound. So Shiner's like, he still doesn't give a shit. They have guns on him. You think that's just going to be a big problem?
He's completely unmoved by a lot of things in this movie. He's just like a tough guy.
Yeah, he's unmoved. And he says, you still owe me $100,000. Right? And I'm like, okay, they're really establishing he's a tough ass.
You know, yeah, I'm because, like, I mean, he just saw his friend get stabbed in the back. Literally, I would be crapping my pants if I was him, but they let him live, and he just seems completely unmoved by it. Like, you know, he's still like making jokes and, you know, funny like asshole jerk commentary to these
guys with guns. Yeah, like, you think this is a big problem, okay. But it doesn't seem to be.
Like, so he seems really, really, really like comfortable in his situation, which is crazy.
Yeah, to me. I agree. And what's even crazier is like the next scene. You see like an entire establishment of the compound and the daily life of these drug kingpins and what's going on there. And I'm like, they just established that they're willing to murder somebody that works for them instantly. But now we have to double down on it and show that one of their workers in the fields or whatever has stolen a whole bag full of cocaine and like put it down his pants.
It was like easily a kilo.
Yeah.
And he just puts it down his pants. And now, mind you, how dumb are you? Like, you're literally being watched by like 100, yeah. You know, like stupid.
Yeah. And I love it because the main bad guy has to smack him around, rip his shirt open, and then reach down his pants and pull out an entire sack. And that made me laugh really hard. Yeah. And so they torture him, and he's got a guy with him that looks like another stereotype of kingpins. He's like another, it turns out, like, I think of the city or the country that they're in. By the way, the country is a fictitious, like, country. I think they were afraid to say it an actual country, but they filmed this in northern Argentina. So, provinces there.
Yeah, but then they showed the Bolivian flag.
They kind of showed a flag, but I don't think it's supposed to be. They showed a flag that was like, I don't know how much of it was supposed to be in the shot, because I think they were purposely not naming the country.
Okay.
I thought that during the movie, but then I researched it and they tried not to.
Well, they did say South America, so we're just assuming it could be many places.
It could be anywhere. But you also have, your mind automatically goes to these places because drugs, you know? But yeah, they show this whole compound, and this other guy, I guess he's like maybe the general or the president. I don't know who this guy is. He seems like he has to be in league with this other guy, Reyes. And he is like, he's the general, actually. Okay. So he's like the general of this country. I don't really know what's going on here, but they're at like heads. Like, they have to like work together. Although they seem like
they're at odds and what they want to do with the drugs, because they seem to be calling each other out, these two guys. Now, they watch as the guy who stole the drugs gets tortured in some kind of weird liquid that burns his face. I have no idea what's happening in that scene. But when they walk back to like his main quarters, the two guys are at odds, the general and this guy Reyes, that like the head of the cartel here. He's like basically threatens the general, like, I'm going to kill you. And then he's like, anyways, see you at your polo match tomorrow.
It's so
at your house. I'll have lunch with you tomorrow on your
weird. Like he's like, he did this to John Schneider. Is it Schneider or Snyder? Schneider. He did this to John Schneider too, because he's like, hey, I'll see you at my house tomorrow. So like anybody who's like his enemy or his I guess opponent would just be invited to his house. It's like, oh, it's...
yeah. And they're clearly trying to like maybe overthrow each other or take over each other. And like, they're obviously at odds, but they're, oh, I'll see you at dinner. I'll see you at lunch tomorrow morning or breakfast. Well, we'll go play polo.
Las Palmas is my territory.
But you are on my territory now, Luján. One word from me and you are dead. Your corpse will fertilize the coca crop. It will save us some horseshit. We will discuss this further at the polo game, Mario.
Of course, Gonzalo. That is the way gentlemen do business.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's so odd. And when he turns around, John Schneider is sitting at his desk, but on his side with his feet up on his desk.
Like, he owns a place.
Okay, I'm like, wow, like, the balls on this character already.
He has so much, like, just... his balls are huge. Like, he just does not care. I was like, care. they're gonna come in here and freaking kill him.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, he's like, get out of my seat or whatever. But he sits up and he goes, well, you owe me $100,000 and I'm here for my payment. And he's like, you killed my partner and you still owe this money. And he's like, he was stealing from me and we caught him or whatever. He's like, doesn't stop the fact that he owes me this much money. And he goes, how about you make double that, $200,000, if you go pick up this guy? And he's like, who? And they're like, oh, this guy's coming in to kill this guy. And it's like this guy running for president, I guess, running for the, I don't know. He's trying to like bring peace.
Yeah. And then they don't want that.
Yeah, of course.
Because they're it's going to affect their drug. You know, whatever. Exactly. But let me ask you a question. When you saw John Schneider in this role in the first 10 minutes of the movie, did you get the vibe that he was like doing dirty deeds? Or did you think like...
I thought he was a bad guy.
You thought he was a bad guy?
My first thought about this character, and I still have this thought about this character, is that he's like Han Solo.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I'll get into that more. I kept thinking Indiana Jones or Han Solo. Like, okay, he's willing to do dirty things, but he probably has a good heart. And I didn't know where we were going to go with that. That was my first thought, because there had to be more to it. It's really rare that you have, like, an anti-hero as your main star in these movies. Always, like, they always have to be good guys.
Yeah.
They have to be, like, they're not chaotic neutral. You know what I mean? Right. They're always going to be...
Well, you gotta have someone to root for. So I feel like he was it.
Well, I love this, that this guy, now he owes him $100,000 and he's like, what if you double? What if you make double? And I'm like, you mean triple? Like, you're going to give me another $200,000 because you already owe me one. So you're just going to give me another one.
Yeah. So he'll get $200,000.
He's like, it's not much of a deal. And he's like, what is going to happen? Oh, they're coming to kill this guy and you'll help them bring them to him. And he's like, not interested. I'll be back for my $100,000. So he kind of walks out. Now we get another character established, right? Where this is Royal Dano, the actor I mentioned was in Killer Clowns and Ghoulies 2 and all this stuff. He is like a Southern looking gentleman with like a real like white toupee.
It's a bad toupee.
And he's got like a, almost like a Colonel Sanders like outfit.
Yeah, he does look like Colonel Sanders.
He is buying drugs, and Klausman and Wilhelm are basically making him, charging him more than he would normally pay. But he's like, I'm not going to leave her empty-handed. And there's a problem, like, they're kind of getting up on him. And that's when Josh Schneider comes over and basically schools the shit out of these two guys. And while he's schooling, he starts beating Klausman to the ground. And then Klausman's on the ground and he goes up to him and says, I know that you two were secretly stealing from him and it wasn't my partner. And don't think I'm going to let this go. Now, this is a beginning of a dumb plot point, because this is a problem in this entire movie that goes forward from here.
Well, it starts the war, like, you know, and I'm doing air quotes.
Well, the war is actually between this general, this drug kingpin, and this guy who's going to run for, like, president.
Yeah.
And that's the war. Now, for some odd reason, the fourth plot, three more plot points are these other three established characters right here. Right? So you got Royal Dano, you have John Schneider, and you have this Wilhelm and Klausman guy. So now that he just told them, oh, I know your whole plan and I'm gonna rat you out, they of course want to kill him.
Of course.
So it's like, you can't just do that. You actually got to go tell the other guy and rat them out and get them killed.
Right.
Or you kill them yourself.
Which is what he did.
Well, later on. But not after. Well, we'll get to it. But I don't know why this movie does this problem where everybody doesn't kill each other. They keep letting each other live, so they'll keep coming back for them. It's like that scene where Uma Thurman in Kill Bill goes to the house and she kills the girl's mother in front of her. And then she says, if you're still sour about it in 10 years, look me up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be waiting. So it's like, yeah, you know, she's going to come for you one day. And I guess in that sense, okay, good. She's allowing her come get revenge on me. I'll mm-hmm. be waiting for you. That's kind of cool. Here, it's like John Schneider, what's your plan, dude? You can't get everybody mad at you and then just walk away.
Yeah.
So he does that. And of course, Wilhelm and Klausman are like, I got to kill them. So he asks, John Schneider's like, they're holding his plane hostage.
So we have not established what John Schneider actually does for the cartel.
He is the drug runner.
He is the actual drug runner. Yeah. So he is involved in this operation hardcore. He flies the plane that carries the drugs.
Yeah.
So that's a major plot point to talk about, because that's why they don't kill him, because they need him.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, it is weird because he's the American transporter. He's the guy who can get it. You know, he's flying to Miami.
Yes.
Yeah. The Miami connection. Maybe these movies tie up. We don't know.
No,
we don't know about the Miami ninja clan that works for the cartel. We don't know. But yeah, John Schneider's the pilot. So they're holding his plane hostage. We can't leave. So he asked Royal Dano, can you give me a ride back? And he's like, yeah. And this is where basically John Schneider goes off into Mos Eisley Cantina. I mean, this is
Star Wars.
This is the Star Wars bar. You're talking about, you'll never see a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. That's this place. I mean, the setup here is almost comical. Every vendor in this marketplace is a terrible person.
There's a guy selling cocaine at a tiki stand.
A guy comes up to him with all the watches on. It keeps escalating.
There's a guy selling freaking guns.
It starts with a Rolex, then it goes to drugs, then it goes to guns, and then it goes to prostitutes.
Oh my God. It checks off
every box
of like debauchery.
And of course, Wilhelm has followed him here. And he has hired, and this is exactly from Mos Eisley Cantina. We got Greedo and like the bad guy following him, you know, Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and everything.
Yeah.
So of course, Wilhelm tells the one guy, and he goes in there to kill him, like Greedo. And we get John Schneider just completely beating the shit out of this guy at the bar.
Yeah, it was cool.
Can we talk about the music in this film? Because it is all over the board.
Please, let's talk about the music in this movie. I love it.
You love it?
Yes.
Okay. First off, it's like synth wave of today.
Yes.
But it's also mixing in bizarre sound effects.
Yeah. It's almost like kind of sci-fi sound effects in there sometimes.
Yeah, but not good. You're overselling it because at this bar, they're playing a sound effect that sounds like someone's playing an arcade game, but the only game being played is pinball. So it doesn't really sound like the right sound effect, but I don't know if it was a part of the music.
I feel like maybe they amplified the pinball sound.
It sounds like Missile Command for some strange reason in the middle of this bar, and it is so odd for the scene where he's beating some guy up, like showing how much of a badass he is.
Yeah.
Like he beats him up with a bottle of tequila.
Yeah, of course. That's what you do in a bar.
Of course. And then you drink it like a badass.
Yeah.
You throw him through the window, and then when the guy at the bar is like, hey, that's my window, then he throws him a gun and says, here, make a lamp out of it, which is like a running joke with his bartender.
Yeah, well, he's lost a lot of windows because people keep getting thrown out of the windows.
Oh, I mean,
so he's like, that's going to cost you $200. I have to replace that. John Schneider's like, here, take this gun. You can have it. It's a gift.
Hans Schneider is like, apparently he throws a lot of people through windows in this movie. But this now leads to a new plot point because Wilhelm sees that and runs off. Like, oh my God, my first henchman has been thwarted. So in walks the love interest. So now, of course, this movie also has to have its Princess Leia character.
Oh, she's cute though.
So she walks in.
Her name is Janet.
Yeah, Catherine Wynn, I believe.
Catherine Witt.
Oh, Witt.
She hasn't really been in much.
No. Yeah, she was in Philadelphia. It's like side characters. It doesn't even have a picture on IMDb.
She doesn't even have a picture, no.
She walks in, and you know that they automatically establish the love interest here. These two have had a past. They know each other. And she is a journalist. He thinks that she's like, of course, that whole Princess Leia thing with Han Solo. Oh, you came for me? I'm surprised you looked me up. And she's like, no, I'm here on business, but I need, information.
Well, obviously, she's there to check out this drug lord, but...
No, she's actually there to watch the guy running for president.
Is she? Because seems like she has an ulterior motive.
No, she's interested in stopping... whatever bad things are happening and watching this guy because there's an entire protection sequence.
Yeah, but she also follows the bad guys as if she knows that they're bad guys.
Well, yeah, because they're part of the cartel and that's a story.
Right. I'm sorry, but if I was a journalist and that was all going on in front of me, I'd be like, okay, I'm the first plane out of here.
That's all they do. This is what they do. They put themselves in jeopardy to get the information. Well, she follows, meets up with John Schneider and, I guess they exchange information and she's like disappointed by him because he comes off like a brute and he's more like sexualizing her.
They have a past.
Yeah. They have a past that obviously they had a relationship.
Yeah. They had a relationship and you know, he's obviously still the same guy and she's in that whole like, oh, you know, like the Marion and Indy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So push and pull.
Yeah. Of course, Wilhelm's like, we failed to Klausman, and they gotta, come up with a new plan. But this all kind of comes together at this rally where that guy who's running for president is like, again, I keep saying president, I don't really know. I think he's running for something important.
He's running for office, let's just say.
Yeah, and everybody is, cheering him on. There's a huge public town square thing where he's doing an entire speech, and everybody's going nuts for it. And, of course, the military are rounding up. This is another thing about this movie that is bad, is editing. It almost made me believe that maybe the thing we were watching was skipping beats, but I looked up at the time, and it was the exact same time. There are so many bad edits they love jump cutting to other things. Sometimes the music isn't playing in certain scenes, and then it is in the next scene when they jump. It's really strange. And this is one of those scenes where he's doing the speech. The people are going nuts. We're seeing John Schneider watching, laughing. We see the reporter is trying to get near him. I think she is trying to interview him more or whatever. And we see that the soldiers are being all brought together. And we also see that John Schneider is being followed by the bad guys. So all this happens and chaos ensues when the army starts trying. And he knows, John Schneider, that they're trying to kill that guy.
Yeah.
So he runs up, and then she's also running after this guy. So now we have all these characters kind of running after them. And this all ends up in a giant pursuit where she is driving the shittiest car in a chase you've ever seen.
Okay, everybody can we just talk about how small this car is and how it could have overturned 600 times during these chases?
Yeah, it reminded me of Ghost Protocol. Oh, is that the newest? What's the new Mission Impossible?
Oh.
You know, he's driving that funny little car.
Oh, that tiny little, like, Mini Cooper thing.
That's exactly what this is. Yeah. It's insane. Just as insane. They have a huge car chase. The bad guys are in the middle chasing the guy. She's chasing them. It turns into this thing where they make the president guy crash. Then they bring him up by gunpoint. She saves them. Well, I should say she saves him. Because the other guy in the car just disappears in a sequence. She leaves him.
Yeah, we were making a joke about that. We're like, okay, well, what about the other guy?
We never see him again.
We don't see him ever.
Ever again.
It's so weird.
Don't know who that is. Don't know what happened.
Why would you introduce him into the plot?
It's a weird edit. And of course, she gets him, the president guy, in her car. She drives off. The bad guys chase them. And they go to a lumberyard type situation where this turns into Final Destination, where these guys get trapped in the box. And they drop an entire log on this car and squish these dudes.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And I was like, this is number one of, woof, are we watching? This is interesting. That was the
start of when this movie really got hot. Like, yeah. I was like, yeah.
We're like, okay, this is interesting. Yeah. I mean, I already like Schneider. He's an interesting character. But this log drop, we're like, holy shit, those guys are dead. You know, they're squished. I think John Schneider team gets up, goes to her apartment where she has brought the president guy to like hide out, and they all meet. And she's like fixing his wounds because he was attacked.
I think his name is Enrique.
I believe so.
Yeah, and he's in this movie a lot.
He is. It doesn't really seem as important as you would think it is. That's one of the weird downfalls of this movie, is a lot of the plot points don't really seem to matter at the end of the day. You could cut some of them out and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. Because I didn't care. I only cared about the one thing.
Yeah, there was like another plot point where I wanted to bring up about Royal Dano. He is robbed on the side of the road and his guy is shot. And that doesn't seem to ever come back because he tells them, you made a really bad mistake. Like, he's a really important person.
Yeah.
Doesn't really come back.
It was like they didn't kill him, but they're sending a message like, I'm going to kill your guy.
Yeah.
And they let him live. So he's like, I guess, part of this drug trafficking
ring. Yeah, he seems to be a big buyer.
And also, he owns a house of ill fame.
You never asked for me, Cliff. No one's asked for you since 1962, chica. You slut. At your service, from 5 to 5.
It's a new floor show, Cliff. How do you like it?
Yes, he does own a prostitution ring of some sort. And
it's like a whorehouse.
Yeah, whorehouse. The women of the night, Joe.
No, they're not women of the night.
The women of the day.
Yeah, they're women of the day. They're up playing cards and having drinks with the guys.
While someone also is beating somebody with bondage gear.
At 9 a.m.
Right, yep. In front of everybody. And there's also a person playing the violin in the worst way you've ever heard.
Oh my God.
Which is another weird scoring thing to this movie.
It was terrible.
Yeah, even Josh Schneider beats that guy up and says, well, you shut the hell up, you know?
Kathy Heron in West Palm Beach.
Come on, keep it down, would you?
This is the home of Carlo Marinetti, the reputed mafia boss arrested this afternoon.
Silencio!
Yeah, so the only reason to bring up Royal Dano's entire prostitution ring is because John Schneider always goes there. It's like a meetup. All the characters meet there.
He has like he's friends with him. He's friends with Royal Dano, and there's a girl there. I forgot her name, but there's a girl there, one of the prostitutes that always helps him out.
Yeah.
So he has like a little like insider operation going. They feed him information too.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, and so
that's when I started to think, wait, what's going on with this? Is John Schneider? He's got a little secret. What's up?
And John Schneider's doing a lot of like weird, shady things. Like he tells the bellhop or whatever of his hotel to hide a package. He pays him to hide a package for him.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he knows that everything's going to go to shit very quickly. So now, I mean, to jump around here, the plot is that Wilhelm and Klausmann are trying to kill Schneider. There is the general and the kingpin like trying to mess with each other. Then they're trying to kill this new guy trying to be leader. Mm-hmm. And there's the reporter trying to get all the information right here. And it ends up happening is that like as things go on, you find out that John Schneider is undercover.
He's a DEA agent
from
Miami,
and he is undercover pretending to be this drug trafficker.
Yeah,
which is debatable because he just saw a guy murdered, which makes me question: is he a cop?
Yes, but he couldn't blow his cover. Yeah. So
reporter doesn't know. That's how much he doesn't want to blow that cover. But now he basically tells her.
Yeah, he has to.
He says, she says, what are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? He's like, I'm doing my job. And that's when she figures it out. And of course, this makes them sleep together.
I was just going to make a joke, and now I'm going to do you. Yeah,
exactly. You want to get undercover with me.
I love these 1980s, like, lovemaking scenes because they're so ridiculous.
They're crazy. It's a lot of just sitting on each other and, like, pretending to, like, move.
Yeah, I'm like, who has sex like that, first of all?
And I kept saying to you, it's not like they could do thrusting.
I mean, they could at least pretend. I mean, look at Halle Berry in Monsters Ball.
Well, things have come a long way. I mean, they even did that study recently where they said, sex has become more insane recently with more people saying less sex. It's become more gratuitous. And back then, it was like, the sex scenes are just like someone dry humping in like slow motion and just basically throwing their hair back and forth.
Yeah.
I didn't like seeing John Schneider's O-face. That was weird. And also watching him suck on her nipple was like, wow, how are these actors doing that?
See, that's the thing. So that's what like blows my mind about these movies is that they don't show any thrusting or what even could simulate penetration of any kind.
Not at all.
But he's sucking on her nipple.
Yeah, I mean, bounces out of her mouth at one. It's like,
and these, thank you for that visual. But like, so honestly, funny. The slasher movies have more sex that seems real than this movie.
I didn't even expect sex from this movie. They could have they basically could have like fallen onto the bed and then cut to the next morning where they wake up naked or whatever.
Yeah, we didn't need to see it.
Do it, but it's there because they like, oh, sex is, you know, kind of sells, but this isn't hot sex at all.
It's not hot, no.
And so they're together, and now it's time for, he like leaves the apartment one time, and Wilhelm chases him in the street and ends up crashing into a building, screaming. Not the Wilhelm scream, which is kind of like, I can't believe they didn't do it. But he crashes into a building, which of course explodes instantly.
Yeah, that was cool. So that was epic number two.
Yeah, he's dead. And then they also get chased by Klausmann.
This is better.
Which is a full-on, like, car chase. Like, it's just insane. And these little shady cars on a mountain peak. They're like chasing right on the side of the mountain. They're shooting at each other. Like not shooting guns, but they're like shooting. The cars are jumping through the side to bash the other one off the cliff. And eventually, John Schneider is able to jump onto his car.
It was a pretty cool stunt.
And like punch him in the head or whatever. And it makes his car fly off. And I love to see the little dummy in the car. And of course, it blows up. But it's also unfortunate because the shot is blurry and it looks like they maybe used stock footage.
It's possible they did. However, it's still a good explosion at the end when he hits the bottom. I like it.
It's it's questionable. It was a little staticky, a little blurred out, but yeah, it was still fun. And all we're of like, the yay. Action's
so good from here on out. Yeah. Like, it's just so good.
And we're like,
so
okay, good. Okay, we're definitely having fun. And one of my favorite lines is they go to the base, like the compound, and he brings the reporter with him. And he sees Hitler brings her in and says, oh, she's with me or whatever. And he goes up to the guy who's Klausmann and Wilhelm's like boss. And he goes,
oh, by the way, I killed Klausmann on the way over here. Hope you don't mind.
And I was just like, oh my God, what a boss.
And he's just like,
I just killed you guys.
Okay. Like the main guy is just like, oh, all right.
Yeah, he doesn't even give a shit.
He doesn't care.
All right.
He's like, kind of did me a favor. I was going to take him out anyway.
When he has this meeting, though, with that guy, the general has his entire house, like his apartment, look through, like smashed up.
Yeah, so, now, is he staying in an apartment or is it
a hotel room? Yeah, it's a hotel because there's a hotel guy he paid.
Because I was like thinking throughout the movie, I'm like, well, if he has like an ongoing gig, you know, with this drug cartel, he should actually get a house because it'll look less suspicious that he's a DEA agent.
But they're living in a shithole. And he flies back to Miami. That's his job. He comes back, gets the drugs, flies it back. He shouldn't be here. The only reason he's stuck here in this movie is because they're holding his plane hostage.
Yeah, they're holding his plane hostage. That's right. Yep.
So he's stuck here because of that. And he actually calls Miami and he tells them, look, you got to get me out of here. Because I'm sticking out like a sore thumb now, you know, and everything is going to hell. So they basically tell him to stay in, which is crazy. And I don't know what their plan is because he doesn't successfully arrest anybody.
No, he doesn't make any arrests, but what he does is better.
Yeah, well, the general has already like looked through his room. He's looking for something and he calls them and he's like, he's telling them that he made a bid on some kind of information that he has. And he told that guy, now that you did what you did, you're looking for the information, I'm going to boost it up. Now I'm going to say $200 million or whatever. And the guy's like, calm down. We'll work something out. But he actually finds that guy running. And it turns out that they have information.
Well, the reporter, Janet, found out some information and had pages and pages of, like, information on these guys.
Well, Schneider actually had all this information, too, because he also knows they were setting up to kill him. He knows who was going to kill him. And he basically works with her and gives that guy the information that he needed to know who's doing what and who was the bad guys. So they give him all that information. But this puts a target on everybody now. And so they kidnap that mayor guy, the guy running for president, and they hold him hostage. Enrique. It doesn't matter. And John Schneider goes to see him, but it's actually a trap. And they capture him. And this is where the movie really turns a new direction because they torture him. The general guy tortures him insanely.
So he's... What really like got me when he's laying on like this metal, picture like a mattress.
It's a springboard mattress, but metal.
Yeah, metal.
This is a real torture.
They're literally like zapping his nipples.
They're not even zapping. They're like touching him with an electric rod.
It's like a prodding, like a cattle prod or something like that. And I was like, oh my God, you're too close to his nipple. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Well, look, the thing that's amazing here is you've seen like any action movie, you've seen this torture before, but John Schneider's really selling it. And the actor that's torturing him is doing a very good job of it.
Yeah.
They're like reaching in his mouth to take like one of his molars out.
Yeah.
They're like beating him senseless. He is really effed up.
Really, really screwed up.
And at the same time as the reporter saw this and saw that he was being kidnapped by them, she was trying to help him. But at the same time, the kingpin guy saw her and they kidnapped her because they knew they could use her as leverage against him since the general is now kidnapped those guys and the guy running for president. So they're like, oh, we'll use her for leverage against him.
Yeah, so he knows that she's been taken, and then he'll give up where the papers are.
Yeah, where this information that they need is, or whatever the hell it is. That'll, like, throw them all into jeopardy or whatever. at the same time of all this, there was like a news report where they said that they all basically said it was him that's the drug dealer in the whole world. It was like a huge news report.
Yeah.
This guy is the big warlord.
Yeah, and but you know,
like,
what's threw funny?
Him on the television. It's like, damn, that's weird.
Yeah, he's outed now. But what's funny about this whole situation is that they never once acknowledge that John Schneider is DEA.
No.
Like, the cartel doesn't even know.
No, they don't know.
They just think, like, you know, he's a backstabber.
Yeah. So they're torturing John Schneider for the information, but because they're idiots, he won't give anything up. He's amazing. And they finally give up on the electrocution, and they put him on the floor, and he sticks a gun to his head, and he said, all right, I've given up. You either tell me, or I'm just going to shoot you. And of course, because John Schneider is Han Solo, he's able to use this to punch the gun out of the way, grab the gun, take this guy hostage, shoot the guys in the room, and then force all the other people in the room to, like, give up.
He's a badass.
He's a badass. He frees the president guy, and he beats this general guy. Does he end up? He does kill him.
He kills him.
Oh, it's the best. Yes. Okay.
It's a really good one.
They go outside. It's only the three of them. He's holding him hostage. And John Schneider decides to stop a taxi in the street by waving his gun. The taxi driver is like, hell no. So he speeds up to go past. But John Schneider kicks the general in front of the car, stopping the car and killing the general instantly.
It was amazing. He flipped him over the windshield. Yeah. He cracked the windshield, like, just shattered it.
Yeah.
Goes over the back of the car, and he's dead.
He's dead. And the guy says...
And the guy says, is that how you hail a taxi?
In America?
In America?
Yeah. Okay, we're like, okay, we're in now. This is amazing.
I was already in. Yeah. I mean, these parts of the movie were so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun.
So the president guy goes off. He tells him, well, go here. There's the package is at the hotel. Ask for this, whatever. You know, basically getting Royal Dano to help out. Watch him at this the prostitution place. I'll give you all the information. And
the prostitution place.
And then they call him up and they say, I have your girlfriend. I have the reporter. And he's like, now I have to go after him. His hair... He's got blood pouring out of his head. He's got scars all over his face. He's all messed up. He just splashes some water on his face and gets ready for kill time.
Okay, first of all, he's all, like, he's got this, like, ski hat on. He is ready.
Yeah.
He has, like, full artillery. I mean, he's got a sniper
rifle.
Was
that what was in the package? Like, no, he actually knows somebody else he goes to, and he's like, I need all the stuff that you had in mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which he is, had like all of the warfare stuff.
Yeah, he had, like, a whole treasure trove of just artillery, like, heavy artillery. And so he goes to this base, and he just freaking killing everybody. But not just killing everybody, okay? Like, I'm talking about killing with style. He sets them on fire. He is amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. I totally just remembered an entire plot point that I wanted to talk about, because I was talking about the editing before. But the bad guys chase that before they get her. There's an entire scene of her running. It's like cut back and forth between the torture of John Schneider and her running from them. And it goes on and on and on. It is some of the worst edited shit I have ever seen. We were laughing. We were like, what is happening
yeah,
here?
Yeah, I was very baffled.
There's a part where a guy is like, has her dead, and she's in a marketplace at night and it's closed. And she's like, one moment she's hiding in a meat case. And then they show her a head pop up. And then the next shot, she's running away.
Down the stairs.
And then the next shot, the guy is like pointing a gun at her and he doesn't yell for anybody. She's over here. And then he shoots and misses.
It was amazing. We looked at each other like, wait, did we just miss something? Because I blinked a minute, but like, I don't.
Yeah, she takes a broom handle and knocks a guy down a flight of stairs. No one hears any of this, and she keeps running from room to room, and they end up catching her anyways. But it goes on forever, and the editing and the sound is so out of whack.
They definitely could have shortened this by a lot.
It was so crazy. I just had to bring it up, because if I forgot, I was going to be mad, because that was one of the worst edited things.
One thing about this movie is that there is just terrible editing.
Oh, yeah, and the sound, the music keeps cutting from back and forth or being bizarre.
But when it does come in, it's fun.
It's you're being very generous.
I liked it.
But when he goes on his kill spree of all these guards and he's killing, I mean, we're talking about killing. He's killing so many. There's explosions. You talked about one of the things we loved.
It was amazing.
This whole half an hour, this last half, we were like in shock because he's just killing everybody. And it is really fun to watch.
I mean,
watch.
It's a whole compound of just bad guys with guns.
Yeah. This is like Metal Gear.
Metal Gear. Any just other, any video game, any, you know, shooter, anything like that. This is what this movie is. Like, it was so much fun to watch.
We love the control burns they did on some of the stunt people.
Yes.
One of the people's, their heads was on, just on fire. And yeah. There was no mask.
No.
You could see his face.
You could see his face.
And I was like, these are insane control burns.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way they're control burns.
Did you read trivia on this?
There is no trivia.
There's nothing?
There's nothing, okay, really.
Because, like, I was like, oh, there's got to be somebody that got hurt, real.
Yeah, this is, if it happened, since they filmed in all these other places, I'm like, I guarantee no one knows.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of movies filmed in other countries where we know some bad things happen, but you can't really tell.
Right.
You know, there's no information. I think famously that Order of the Black Phoenix, where the guy's head gets run over.
So if you're listening to this, you have to watch. You can
just look it up,
on Red Letter Media or YouTube. Order of the Black Phoenix, guy getting his head run over.
It's not. And when we say that, it sounds like his head is like being squashed. It's not. If someone's driving like a motorbike and they clearly run this guy's head
over. It's a goddamn Jeep.
But it doesn't. No, it was a four-wheeler.
Like an ATV?
Yeah.
Okay. It looked like a Jeep.
It runs this guy's head over, but he doesn't get squashed, but his head gets pushed down, and you're like, is this guy alive? Like, did the stunt guy get killed during this scene? We don't know, but they in Red Letter Media did a cut of it where they showed it like 100 times. It's insane looking. But I don't think the guy's dead. Like, I actually heard some other stuff, but we've seen a lot of movies like this where we're like, we saw a stunt, we're like, holy crap, what happened in the background there?
Yeah.
Or we had to rewind it a whole bunch of times, like, something happened to that person in the background.
Like, even the stunt actor who's playing the scenes of Reyes, the main bad guy, getting fucked up, I'm like, oh my God, how is this guy still alive?
Yeah, I guess we should talk about this because it kind of borders on the two problems. One of my favorite issues with action. What I love about action, I shouldn't say issue, one of my favorite things about action, good action, and one of my worst things about action, they're kind of blending here into a fine mess. The one thing I don't like is when the guy is such a badass that he's like unstoppable. He's just like, what's the point? It's just like, it's like Jason, you know, like watching Jason Voorhees just, you know, just ravage a whole bunch of people on a rampage. It's the same thing with a lot of action stars, like, you know, Arnold, and you saw these guys like just taking out people without a scratch. And I'm not a big fan of that. But what I love here is they do both, because he's taking out these guys in stealth mode, which I would say at a couple points I got mad because they like grabs a machine gun and jumps in his car and starts riding toward people who are hiding on one of those dump trucks, not a dump truck, but with a shovel in the front, whatever.
It is a dump truck.
Not a dump truck would be the thing on the back of a truck that dumps the stuff, but this is one of those ones that picks up the dirt. Anyways, it doesn't matter. They're hiding on it, and this should be bouncing the bullets off. But he is perfect while driving, shooting these guys and killing them all. And I was like, okay, this is getting so insane.
Bulldozer. That's what you're thinking of.
Okay. All right. It still doesn't sound right, but
it is. It's got the teeth on it. It's in the front.
Okay.
Bulldozer.
Yeah. So you would think that like there's no way he's gonna survive this shooting, but he's like perfect. He's killing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really like is then it comes down to the last battle.
Oh, that's so good.
And he is, you know, the main cartel guy Reyes. He's got the girl with a gun to her head. And he takes his right-hand guy, puts a gun to his head, like Reyes is going to give a shit.
Right.
And of course he doesn't. Reyes ends up shooting his own guy. But it gives John Schneider, like, has to put his gun down. He's failed. But luckily, the reporter is able to smack the gun, get away from him so John Schneider can go up, and we have a fist fight.
Yeah, and I'm going to make a point here. Usually, women in these kind of action movies are dumb as fuck, okay?
She could have taken him out a bunch of times during this fight.
I'm just telling you that she did not suck, okay?
She didn't suck.
She didn't suck. She helped. She drove a lot in this. She swerved out of the way.
Oh,
she
was the car driving stuff.
A badass, offensive driver. She clucked them over the head. She fought back. She kicked the guy over the railing. She was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, but that's... thank you for keep reminding me. She kicks and she pushes a guy over a railing at one point, but before she does it, she screams.
Yeah, well, because she was amping herself up. It's like, you know, when I'm about to kick someone over a railing, I like to scream and just be like, ah! And then, like, pump myself up, and then I kick them.
Okay.
You know, that's what I do.
Well, what I was going to point out was, I kind of liked it. She had an arc of where she is a humanitarian. She doesn't want to hurt people. But she knows, and I like this character. This is good character stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that she has to survive.
Well, yeah, they're going to just kill her.
There is like a part where he hands her a gun, shoot anything that moves, and she shoots a guy. And it's like you could tell it's the first kind of time she's ever killed anybody.
Yes.
And she makes like a face like, ugh. You could tell like, I'm glad I did it, but I'm also like, oh, I just killed somebody. You know, and I kind of like, okay, I like that. I like where they what they've done here. She knows she has to survive. So they didn't make her like like the idea of a character who is willing to do anything to survive. See, they made her human,
mm-hmm.
which I liked. But during the fight between Reyes and John Schneider's character, this fight is insane. They are both. I cannot believe Reyes is able to hold his own and beat John Schneider's ass, but he does. And this fight goes on, and they're like at a standstill. They are completely exhausted, weak, messed up beyond belief. And I was like, you know what? I appreciate this.
So good. It was really good. I mean, they definitely kicked each other's ass. Yeah.
Every
for
time
a while.
They hit each other, they both have their backs to each other and they're like gasping for air.
Yeah, it was realistic. It was like how cool. You would be if you were in a fight like that. You'd be just completely exasperated, exhausted. And I thought it was a really well done fight.
It's fun. It's nothing like Lethal Weapon, the last fight in Lethal Weapon with Mel Gibson and Gary Busey or whatever. They're on the front and they're just like frigged up, they're all messed up and they're dying and they're panting and they're like trying really hard to keep getting back up. I love that shit. It's not that cool, but it is pretty decent for a low budget film.
Yeah, I liked it.
And I think that's why we like it as much as we do, is because it's really low budget and it's like you can tell it's like it shouldn't be as cool as it is. You know? I think
totally
that's what we appreciate about watching bad movies, is we always look for these movies like, oh, wow, this is really well done on the budget that they probably had. And they did a lot with what they had. And it's really neat. So, yeah, these two are gasping for air and they're going nuts. Now, our favorite thing. Now, this, what I could not unsee here was this was a Batman fight to me. In my mind, as a comic book fan, as a Batman fan, I don't know if you know this, but I like comic books.
No, I didn't know.
I kept saying, this is the origin story for a supervillain. Because what happens next is some of the craziest shit. Instead of killing Reyes, he opens up a bag, a massive bag of cocaine, and he shoves his face into it so he can't breathe. And the only thing he can do is inhale his own drugs. And he does this over and over to this guy.
It was amazing.
And then leaves him. Now, he walks away and gets a canister of petrol or a lighter fluid or whatever, and puts a rag in it to make like a cocktail and set it on fire and blow up the entire base because it's all flammable liquids. This is it's right next to a chem lab,
mm-hmm.
and for the drugs. And he lights the thing and they go off and they get to his plane. Now we watch Reyes get up high out of his mind and stumble around the chemical, you know, the whole lab. While smashing chemicals all over himself, I'm like, okay, if this isn't a start of a supervillain, I don't know what is.
Yeah, and his whole face is like covered in coke.
And he is blitz gone, right? And this is this one I didn't like so much, this moment, but it's still like the whole thing that was happening with Reyes enough that did not give a shit. They're all the way at the plane, And she says, your plan isn't going to work with the fire, you know, setting the cocktail to blow up the whole base. And he goes, hell yes, it is. And he takes his gun that has like a silencer on the front of it. It's a giant silencer on a machine gun, which is really weird. He starts unloading from the airfield out to the base. And somehow, as he starts shooting like Rambo, it blows up. And I was like, was it really him, or was it really the thing that he set on fire?
Okay.
I'm like, it had to be the thing that set on fire.
No, because there was barrels of flammable liquid all over. It was
miles away.
I don't care. I'm standing by this. So I'm standing by this logic.
What I like, though, is we get to see Reyes completely up in the fire, in the chemicals, burning with cocaine all over his face.
It was amazing.
I kept going, I want a sequel, and I want Reyes to come back as Bane.
Oh my god.
Just a coked out supervillain. Oh
my god, it would be amazing.
It's just an amazing idea.
That was like, and then so then they get in the plane, and then Finn. That's it. Finn. It's over.
I love that when he gets in the plane, he has to get in character. And when he gets in the plane, he goes, I gotta put my baseball hat on.
Yeah, like why? Why? Because that's like the American thing to do.
She just let. Now he is so fucked up from torture. An entire day of getting his ass beat and torture.
I don't even know how he's not like passed out at this point.
She says, "You look like shit," and he laughs, and that's the end of the movie. And I was like, "If you're not in love with this guy, there's nobody you can tell why you're getting like why you're with this guy. If anybody asks, you know what I mean. If anybody says, why are you with this guy?" Let me tell you a couple stories.
I mean, this guy
was willing to do.
Yeah, what he put himself through just to get me back.
Let me tell you about the time that he made a supervillain in front of me. I mean, he shoved a man's... Like, you know when you play that game, what have you done this? Where you know, like that game...
Oh, like, never have I ever...
Thank you, never have I... And someone's like, never have I ever shoved a man's face into cocaine and make him breathe it completely. And left him in an exploding laboratory.
Oh my god, it was amazing. Oh my god. Okay, so honestly, there are no 1-star reviews. There are no 10-star reviews. There is an 8-star review, but I can't go there because my segment of why we can't have nice things is kind of just useless. Because okay. I really enjoyed this movie.
And there was no funny reviews? Nothing that no one's saying anything funny?
I mean, no, not really.
That's wild.
Yeah, there's nothing noteworthy in the reviews. So I'm thinking, like, and I had such a good time with this movie. I did. Like, maybe the first 20 minutes of this movie, I was like, wait a minute. Have we made a mistake? Because I don't hate this. I'm supposed to hate it, but I totally don't.
It's hard to hate this. I'm a little shocked that the reviewers were knocking it so much. Like I read in the opening here, which is probably as 1-star as we're gonna get for your segment. Reading that it's an atrocity, or if it was like a bad episode of Mexican TV, that's insane, because I had a ball watching this, so. I'm pretty damn happy. This is exactly what we're always looking for on the show. Something so low rated that you have a good time with it.
I mean, it is that diamond in the rough.
I think so, too.
It is. Like, we're always looking for the diamond in the rough. And every time, you know, we put on a movie, we just don't know what we're going to get, obviously, because it's a surprise to us. I'm pleasantly surprised and also a little disappointed because I'm pleasantly surprised that I liked the movie, and I'm happy that I liked it. However, I'm a little disappointed because I like to talk trash.
I know.
And I feel as though there is not enough in this movie to make me want to talk trash, because I enjoyed myself throughout. I thought it was fun. And I liked John Schneider a lot, and I didn't hate anyone in this movie. I thought everyone did a fine job.
Yeah.
There wasn't anyone who annoyed me. Usually in talking trash films, there was like...
Well,
somebody that annoyed me.
I definitely was able to bring up some problems.
Oh, it's not without its issues.
There is some problems.
Yeah.
There are some weird plot points. I mean, the Royal Dano character. I don't really know where he plays out. You thought that his drug dealing thing was going to come back. Like,
yeah,
he basically said to somebody like Tony Soprano, "You made a big mistake coming after me." And yeah. It didn't really go anywhere.
Didn't go anywhere. No, it's just like he was just part of the loop, but he was on John Schneider's side.
So yeah, they were friends.
Probably equally as, you know, guilty as most of the bad people in this movie, but it didn't matter because he was helping John Schneider, who had a cause. He's a DEA agent and he was trying to bring down the cartel or whatever.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you, there might have been some problems with, you know, the editing, the goddamn editing. Ugh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy the score. I did enjoy the plot, and the action scenes were on par with shit that happens in Rambo. So
I guess that's true.
I mean, honestly, John Rambo's kills are just as ludicrous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but much cooler, but yes.
I mean, it's Stallone. You can't beat Stallone.
Yeah.
You can't compare the two.
I just don't know why he didn't go off and make more of this kind of thing.
What did he do after this? Like, right after this?
I said, like, a horror movie.
He it was did a this horror movie
called Cursed, yeah.
The Cursed. Yeah. Okay, we're going to
check
that out.
His career wasn't that big. When he did Smallville, that was like, I remember everybody was saying, oh, he's back, you know, he made something, you know, where has he been? He wasn't really showing up, and he was, like, showing up in, like, one, you know, roles on TV, like, cameos and, you know, little bit roles and stuff like that. Nothing as big. This was a huge action film for him. And unfortunately, yeah. Because I think it did so poorly, it didn't do anything, no service for him, but... kind of odd. I would expect that maybe some people really love us, you know, like we do.
I mean, this one was definitely like, how, where are we going to put this on our list?
Well, what would you give it out of 10, first off?
6.
Whoa. I'm giving it a 5. I can't go that high. I
loved it. It was fun.
It's fun. It's just, I know it's not great.
Like, no,
I know it's a mess. I know it's very cheap.
A 6 is a decent film. It was decent.
I'm going mediocre.
Okay.
I did enjoy this. This is definitely better than the 4 that I mean,
how could you literally go mediocre when so many times you were like,
because
whoa.
I know this isn't that good. I know I...
But it had some really good scenes.
I think you're also forgetting the idea that you're leaving on a high note, but you forgot a lot of the movie before it.
I mean...
The romance is bad. The sex stuff, they don't really have much chemistry. 13
seconds.
Yeah, it's just... it's pointless. There's a lot of pointless characters. We kind of ran through a lot of the prostitution, you know, that whole house. That was bizarre stuff. Wasn't necessary. There was a lot of stuff that could have been like worked around and maybe tightened up in a script.
But I'm giving this a 6 because I think it was a decent film. I thought I had fun with it. I'm not going to call it mediocre because there was a lot in it that was better than mediocre. It was fun. And especially those kills, like they went all out. They just went all out. It was fun.
Yeah, and that's what we left on, that high note, that, you know, the huge high note.
No, not necessarily, because throughout the movie there's like fun car chase scenes and people getting hit by cars and things like that. Like there's a lot of, you know, stabbings and almost, you know, drownings where the guy got his like face melted off and stuff like that.
Kind of, yeah. I didn't think we got really impressed until the Klausman got killed and they killed the general, and then I thought everything picked up. Like there's little scenes here and there you go, oh, that was cool.
I definitely think
I know this is fun, this is better than I usually would give a movie like this, but I still can't go high enough.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with my 6. I like it.
Yeah. I definitely think we're gonna stick this at number 38. This is going to be our 38th film. I'm going to stick it right between The Beekeeper and Firestarter. I think Beekeeper is a way better film.
I mean, this movie wasn't a bad film.
No.
Yeah.
No, but we're just saying which is better. I definitely think The Beekeeper is better.
Okay. Fine.
It's still pretty good. I mean,
geez. I mean, I had a good time with this. I mean, maybe I'm like overzealous because some of the scenes just were like, whoa, oh my god, like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. that kind of thing, and I don't usually feel that way during Talking Trash.
No, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I had a good time.
Is this like our first six of the Talking Trash movies?
No. No.
I don't know. Because I think that the other movies, your first six, I mean, because...
Oh, might be. I don't remember. We did so many Talking Trash. But you'll have to look at it.
Well, that was the thing, like Beekeeper, It's a Wonderful Knife, and Mortal Kombat 2021 are above it.
All right. Well, let me see what I gave. I think I gave...
Well, you don't have to look. I'm just was wondering if you can remember right off the top of your head, like, oh, I was like, did the Beekeeper get a 6?
No, from you? Beekeeper got a 4.
Are you serious? It's yeah. Not that bad. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Maybe I'll change it to mediocre. But still, I like this one better than Beekeeper.
Wow, no.
I did. It was fun.
You were talking about kills and fights?
Oh, we were making fun of that shit the whole time in Beekeeper because it was so ridiculous. This that big just boy wouldn't stupid. Die. He had no... He,
that they, scene, that fight's awesome.
Yeah, but it was so ridiculous. I mean, he just wouldn't die.
He threw a jar of honey at someone's head and set her on fire in a gas station. It is... It's funny. It's definitely... Those kills are just as funny as these. I think the only difference between the two is that's a blockbuster film that's like a bigger budget, and this is like extremely low budget and cheap, and I think you're only appreciating it more because it is that grindhousey indie feel.
I like that feel.
Exactly. But you do... You can see what I'm getting at here.
Yeah. But I'm not changing my score. I don't care. We're set. We're set in stone.
Okay. All right, any parting thoughts on this movie and the movies in general?
Well, I think this one was, well, since it was produced by Corman, I feel as though he, because he didn't direct it, I feel like this was a bigger winner. I don't know why. Like, I don't know, the last ones that we watched of his when he directed were not that good.
No, yeah, I mean, like, the old black and white stuff that he's directed, we like.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
It's rare that we watch one of his movies, you know, and we were like, oh, one of the later ones. Usually yeah. We just want to watch the production ones. Would you say that Streetwalkin' is worse than this? Because these are the movies that you picked and you didn't pick instead of Streetwalkin'.
Okay, well, we had fun with Streetwalkin' because we kept making up our own jokes.
Oh my god, you know? Yeah.
But I didn't think that it was a bad movie. What did I give that one, Melissa Leo? Oh my god, I didn't even put it on my rating. What did I give it?
I couldn't tell you, but we had it at number 28 on our list.
Okay, well, I would say that...
right above Madam Web.
Then that means it's a 5. That's what I gave it. I gave it a 5.
I feel like everything... 28 up and we gave a 5. Yeah. I feel like that.
Yeah.
And I might have given Madam Web a 5. I know I like people hate it, but I'm like, after watching the movies we've watched, it's not that bad.
I hated it. Hated it. I gave it a 3.
Holy shit.
Yes, I gave Madam Web a 3. I hated it.
Oh my god.
I don't know which was worse. Was it what I think Tarot for me was worse. I think I gave Tarot a 2.
But that was just on before and after review, so it doesn't even count.
Oh. Yeah, I hate... actually, I gave Tarot a 4. I think you talked me into that one.
Yeah, you were going to give it a 5.
No, I wasn't. I was going to give it a 3.
I actually gave Madam Web a 4. I looked it up. What was that you were going to give it a...
I was going to give it a 4.
No, you liked it.
I did not like Tarot.
I kept talking you down during the episode.
Hell no, I didn't like Tarot. Not like Tarot. Go back to that episode, sir. I just listened to it.
I kept saying to you, like, it's not that.
I hated all these characters. I remember.
You think it was vice versa? You think I liked it more than you?
Yeah, you liked it more than me. 100%.
I couldn't. What did I give that?
100%. No. Go back. Yes, you did. You liked it more than me. I hated it. I hated it.
That's true.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you talked me into the 4 because you said it was a competent movie.
Oh, I was trying to talk you out of a 3.
I was going to give it a 3.
It's not that bad.
What'd you give it, a 5?
I give it a 4.
Yeah. Same. Okay. We're on the same
page. I talked you into a 4 from a 3. Okay. That's what that was.
Yeah. All right, man. Had enough of this one. I like this movie. And I feel like, Talking Trash, it's like, we're not much trash to talk because this is that diamond in the rough, and I love diamonds in the rough, but like it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah. Well, next week is summer camp nightmare.
Yes. I forgot what I said. I thought that was
about. Well, we'll have to get no looking into it.
No, I'm not going to look into
can't
it.
Can't wait to find out because I know it's not going to be anything we think it is.
I'm sure it's a slasher.
I hope so, but I don't think it is.
If it's a slasher, I will be so happy.
Yep. So you think that'll be better or worse? You think we'll be back to beach balls or are we going to have another cocaine wars?
Okay. No, I think we'll be back to beach balls, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
All right, we'll find out next week.
Okay.
All right, thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening, as always. Please like the show, pass it around, you know, tell people, your friends. Really appreciate that. We are also on social media on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night, and Joey's at The Crafty Misfit. Hit us up, tell us what you think. Please go check out Cocaine Wars. It's free on YouTube. I mean, I think everybody's going to have a ball watching it. It's just stupid fun, and if you listen to this and you like stupid fun, go check it out, you know? Might have a more of a fun than we even said in our breakdown of it. All right, but once again, thank you for listening and have a good one. Bye.
Oh, I knew you would come back to me.
Where's Bailey, Lola?
He'll be back. Drink?
Yeah, fine. Mm-hmm. Lola, forget the drink. Turn that up.